This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Let's return to our series, Family Matters, examining the way that different generations of families are increasingly moving in together, under the same roof, to get by. Today, we return to a family that had to make a difficult decision to ensure that an elderly parent keeps getting the care she needs. We'll have more on that in a moment. First, David Green is here. David, would you remind us about this family?
Yeah, Steve, we're returning to the Hunter Christian family from Maryland. We had them on air a few weeks ago. You might remember the matriarch is a woman named Ida Christian. She's 89 years old, suffering from Alzheimer's.
Sing your favorite song.
What is my favorite song?
Okay, I'm going to say the first couple words. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It's your thing, do what you want to do.
David, who's the younger voice we're hearing there?
That is Ida's granddaughter, Yolanda, who cares for her during the day. As you might remember, this family really determined not to place Ida Christian in a nursing home. And so Yolanda actually quit her job as a human resources director to begin taking care of her grandma full time.
She quit her job, and as I recall, we talked with an expert about that sacrifice not too long ago, the fact that many caregivers, family caregivers, end up giving up a job.
That's exactly right, and that's where we left Yolanda's story a few weeks back. So she's 43 years old. She's been out of work now for 2 years taking care of her grandma, and since our last story, she's really been working hard to try and get her career going again. She started doing some part-time work for a headhunting company. And I caught up with her on this really chaotic day. She had all of these meetings scheduled, but the nurse who was supposed to come in and watch her grandmother for her canceled at the last minute.
Totally frustrating because I got to reschedule these people. So I got to reschedule the nurse to come back in. Hopefully she'll be available to come so I can get these interviews done and get these applicants out to these clients. And if the clients like them, they can get hired and then I can make some extra money. And for me, it's like, geez, I can't keep doing this. It's crazy for me, and it's just too much.
Okay, so taking care of Ida while also trying to work at least a little bit is too much for Yolanda. So what are the options for the family now?
I think the family's come to one of these defining moments that a lot of multi-generational families face when just something has to give. There needs to be another sacrifice. And so to get Yolanda back to work as she wants to do, they really need another daytime caregiver. To pay for that, they need to free up some money somehow. And one option that they came up with was to sell a house that Ida used to live in, and that takes us to Richmond, Virginia.
Can you show us around the house a little bit? Is it?
Yeah, it's possible. Before,
is that okay?
Come on, yeah.
Great, thank you.
So the person we're hearing from right there is Frank Christian, and he is Ida's son. And really, Steve, this is a reminder of how one challenge in a multi-generational family can involve so many people in the family. Frank lives in the house in Richmond that we're talking about. He built it with his mom, Ida. They lived together for years. I mean, it's really this beautiful six-bedroom colonial in a leafy neighborhood. There's a basketball court in the backyard where Frank and his mom spent a lot of time.
My mother used to come down here sometimes and shoot the ball with me, too.
No, she did.
Yes, she did.
Really?
Yeah, when we first moved, because I was always out here shooting. Like I said, you know, we're like buddies, so she would come, oh, yeah, I can shoot better than you, so she'd come out and throw up a few.
She show you up?
No. No. I'm competitive, man. You ain't going to beat me.
So with time, Ida's Alzheimer's got worse, and there were fewer moments like that out on the basketball court.
Those last couple of years, I mean, she really wasn't connected because she was losing memory and talking about the past, not talking about here, and just not connected. So, but I guess with that process, you know, that kind of, you know, put this in perspective for me.
And one thing that Frank realized, his mom needed help bathing, getting dressed, and Frank felt he couldn't really do these things for her. And so Ida moved to Maryland to live with Yolanda's family. One thing Frank could do was sell this house in Richmond. It took 2 years because of a really tough housing market, and it took time for Frank to let go. But he finally sold the property just a few weeks ago for close to $400,000. So now Frank is moving with his own family to a much smaller two-bedroom rental. But he says this feels right. He feels like he's doing his part for his mom and also for his niece, Yolanda, so she can finally get her career back. And Steve, there's also something special about who bought this house.
And I think she's a single mom, but she suddenly was looking for a house, and particularly one like this, because she suddenly had to change her lifestyle because she has to take care of her parents. Now, I don't know what the circumstances are, but I thought that was kind of neat.
Wow.
That, you know, we built this for that reason, and now the people moving in it are using it for that reason. So that's kind of cool.
So they've raised the money for an extra caregiver, David Green, by selling this house, but that's got to be tough to sell a house that's been in the family like that.
It was tough, and you know, there were some tensions. That, you know, Frank had to be convinced, and the family kind of struggled with both the whether to sell the house and when was the right time.
And I think a lot of families have had that same struggle, David Green. So let's get into it a little bit more deeply here. Selling a house can raise some money. It can also bring up emotional struggles. And to talk about that, we called up Linda Fodrini-Johnson. She is a geriatric care manager, runs a firm that does that, and is also the past president of the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this situation that we've just heard about, which has got to be very common for many people across the country. Mom needs care. Yolanda needs to get back to work and can't care for her all the time anymore. So they decide to sell the house. What do you think of that choice?
Well, sometimes it is the only choice families have, but other times families really need to look into federal and state benefits that might have helped with the cost of care in the home if they were entitled to it. And the other issue is the house is a place. A home is a history. It's a history of a family. It's an emotional attachment, and it's really a hard decision for families to make. But they have to make it in some circumstances, like in this family's circumstance.
I'm curious, as someone who advises people in this situation, would you put so much emotional weight on the value of keeping the home that you might sometimes advise people that you could hang on to that, even if it's not the absolute strictly best financial decision?
Yeah, I can. And I actually have a checklist that I developed. Do I have a safety net in this home? You can't stay in it if you're have three stories and you have a movement disorder or you have Parkinson's, something that's going to advance unless you remodel it. What does the home mean to you? Is it more important for you to be close to those that you're most intimate with, your children, your grandchildren? Every decision with every family is going to be slightly different.
Now, I understand that you're dealing with this issue yourself.
I am. I have a 90-year-old mom. I have three brothers. My mother is currently in assisted living. She still owns her home in San Francisco. One of her grandchildren, my nephew, lives in it. But I have legal authority, but I meet with my brothers and talk about what we should do with the home. And because there's an emotional attachment to it, that home means my father to my mother, who died 30 years ago, but it's so important to her. I've decided that the best move for us is to keep the home, but to rent it.
The fact that you're making these decisions about your mom's house with your three brothers seems to raise all kinds of potential for emotional conflict.
You know, it does raise some potential, but I guess I'm a licensed therapist. I know how to run a family meeting. I'm keeping them in the loop of the decisions I'm making and the choices I have.
You must have run into plenty of families that have all but split up over this.
Many families that don't talk to each other after a parent dies and a house is sold. I can't tell you how many.
Linda Fodrini-Johnson is former president of the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers and is a geriatric care manager herself in San Francisco. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Remember, you can follow this series online. You can see photos of Ida Christian's family and hear other stories in the series at npr.org.